Join us every Sunday with the Dean. We are commanded by the Lord to raise up disciples, not spectators. Friends, last year I highlighted church statistics where George Barna's research group found that after surveying pastors from across the country as to why they were not preaching out against the sins of the nation, as Scripture commands, they found the following. What we are finding is that when we ask them, the said pastors, about all the key issues of the day, 90% of them are telling us, yes, the Bible speaks to every one of these issues. Then when we ask them, well, are you teaching your people what the Bible says about those issues? And the numbers drop to less than 10% of the pastors who say that they will speak to it. When researchers ask those same pastors what else they are willing to do to get their people active in their political process, Barna said, it is almost nothing. What Great Awakening preacher George Whitefield conveyed long ago rings true today when he said, the reason why congregations have been so dead is because they have dead men preaching to them. Friends, the message that Jesus gives to his disciples, both past and present, is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. When they repent, they will also preach repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. So in the end, the sheep will beget the sheep. If pastors today are not preaching out against sin, it just means that they have not repented. They're dead and remain in their sins. This is what Scripture clearly teaches us. As a famous preacher from the 1800s rightly perceived, he said, if you want to know why they don't preach out against the sins of the culture, he said, follow them home, and you will discover why they are guilty of it. The men of old who were used by the Lord to establish this country are not at all the same in comparison to what it is that you see in America today. Preachers and theologians such as Augustine, Jonathan Edwards, Martin Luther, John Knox, Charles Spurgeon, William Booth, and the Black Robe Regiment, the Puritans of the day, they were a complete night and day difference from what reigns in our pulpits today. Just look at the nation and what it has become in the last generation alone. The people of this nation are not repenting of their sins before God. They are embracing them in their rebellion, and that to their own demise. What do repentant men do? They bring forth the fruit of repentance. They raise up disciples. They seek and save that which is lost. They build the old waste places. They bring forth the answers to a world that is in dire need of that in which only the Lord can and will give. Friends, the Church of Christ is to be on the offensive, not on the defensive. We are to raise up disciples, not spectators. When reading Ephesians 6:10 through 20, you will find that the armor of God is for the front, not the back. Furthermore, Scripture makes clear that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, and that in all things we are made more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Scripture also tells us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world, and that those that are born of God overcome this world, and that the victory that overcomes the world is our faith. How could it be otherwise? Jesus also told us that He has given us all power over the enemy, and that we would do greater works than He did. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Just think about that. He promised the church that they would do greater works than he did. But is that what we are seeing in America today? Certainly not. Friends, I've been throughout this country living out what it is that I just relayed to you. For the past 30 years, I've traveled this nation from coast to coast, doing over 3,000 public events, including 366 public high school assembly programs in 25 states, colleges, churches, prisons, festivals, patriot meetings, and more. I've been featured on Fox News and the New York Times, standing for our biblical and constitutional values. I also do national radio broadcasting into 160 affiliate stations across the country. And now on top of all of this, I've been receiving many requests to have church services online to fill the need of those who have no place to go to church on Sundays. Well, friends, we're honored by the requests. Therefore, we obliged.
Here we go.
So if Roger Sherman, a signer of the Declaration of Independence, signer of the Constitution, stated, "I believe that there is only one living and true God, existing in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments are revelation from God, that God did send his own Son to become a man, die in the room and stead of sinners, and thus to lay a foundation for the offer of pardon and salvation to all mankind, so all may be saved who are willing to accept the gospel offer." Roger also stated that sad will be the day when the American people forget their traditions and their history and no longer remember that the country that they love, the institutions they cherish, and the freedom that they hope to preserve were born from the throes of armed resistance to tyranny and nursed in the rugged arms of fearless men.
The Sons of Liberty is a politically neutral organization. We believe that the Christian ethic has provided the principles on which this nation was founded. It is our belief that these principles provide not only the foundation and framework for American government, but are also essential to the maintenance of a fair and just society. All program content is based on a Christian biblical worldview.
One of you said to me recently,
"You shouldn't
rock the boat." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I am a boat rocker.
Hello, friends, as well as a few enemies, scoffers, atheists, skeptics, lunatics, weirdos, and assorted bad guys. And, of course, all of you good guys and girls out there, welcome to the Sons of Liberty. You have with yours truly, Mr. Bradley Dean. Folks, you want to check us out online, social media platforms, sonsoflibertymedia.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com. Want to know who we are, what it is that we've been doing for the last 30 years, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertyradio.com. And yes, you heard that right. Faith without works is dead, my friends. Put that as a positive because we're justified by faith alone, but not faith that is alone, James 2:14 through 26, bringing it forth in context as to what Paul said and what James brought to conclusion. Again, if you want to check us out, sonsoflibertyradio.com, sonsoflibertymedia.com, social media platforms. Also, check us out on beforeitsnews.com, beforeitsnews.com as well. If you want to call in at any time, please do, 281-845-4704. I want to say this really quick before we get going today. I have someone going back and forth with us here at the offices. And I'm not quite understanding, outside of the fact that his font is so small I can barely read it, as to the point that the individual is making. And so what I did is I asked the question. I said, I'm not understanding. Make the point, and please make the font bigger so I can read in context what it is that you're trying to convey to me in question. And so he comes back again, and what I could see, it sounded like he was assuming I was saying something that I am not saying. And shame on him for assuming, and shame on him for assuming that I'm saying something that I'm not saying that he thinks that I'm saying. And I'm not trying to be funny here, friends. That's why we have the phone lines open. If you want to contend, if you want to accuse me of something, at least ask me, okay? You sound like the mainstream media that you say you don't believe in. And it's what's worse is you claim to be a Christian in the process of doing so. Don't play that game with me, people. 281-845-4704, 281-845-4704. Wanted to let you know, folks, if this is the first time listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, do remember that this is the radio show where we think for ourselves and make not the others the measure of our conduct. And why is that, friends? Because it is a terrible place to be when your brains are in someone else's head. True that, we follow the Christ. I want you to get a visual, and I want you to listen carefully as to what you're going to hear and see if you can. Affiliates, worry not. I'll paint the picture if it doesn't paint it for itself. But I want you to listen carefully as to what is happening to this country. And it's been happening for a long time. This is one of those things that I exposed literally 30 years ago and doing so many high schools across the country, showing the people, and namely the younger up-and-comings, as to what is taking priority. And some will say, well, it's not taking priority. Then I would ask the question, then why are you allowing it to be set as a standard amongst the mainstream media and their talking points? Listen to this. I'm going to go ahead and play this again. I don't know why it's doing this, friends. Facebook is doing something different than it hasn't done before. Listen.
Tonight, the disturbing video here, an American tourist now facing federal charges, accused of throwing a large rock at an endangered monk seal.
And tourist arrested in Hawaii for throwing a rock at an endangered Hawaiian monk seal.
What he allegedly said when he was confronted. Here's Melissa.
Look at this, friends. Look what's taking precedent.
Tonight, the man seen here throwing a large rock at an endangered Hawaiian monk seal's head is facing federal charges and possible prison time.
What are you doing?
I'm not advocating harm for animals, friends. The Bible's clear about that. Be kind to your animal. But doesn't anybody think it's kind of odd that the same mainstream media and their useful idiots in the Mockingbird CIA-controlled narrative? Isn't it interesting that they'll highlight an individual throwing at a rock at an endangered monk seal? But this is the same mainstream media, the spin doctors, and their useful idiots that will attack anybody that defends life in the womb. And again, friends, this is all communism, so you know.
Incident earlier this month, seen by millions. 38-year-old tourist.
Can you believe, hey folks, see that right away? It's been seen by millions. Look at this monster. Look what he's doing. He's throwing a rock at a seal, an endangered Hawaiian monk seal, in the water.
The seal that locals have named Lonnie, swimming close to shore, hurling that rock as the seal rears up out of the water. Another video showing him being detained and questioned, but later released. Litvinchuk, who was visiting Hawaii from Washington State, was arrested Wednesday near Seattle and charged with...
They're profiling an individual for throwing a rock at an endangered seal that was probably 60, 70 yards away from him in the Hawaiian waters. Not advocating it in any sense of the word. But this is the same mainstream media that's trying to protect those animals, that's also trying to protect the same sort of people. This is the people that they are, and they're revealing to you as to who they are by defending those that decapitate their own babies, those that saline their own babies to death, those that not only that, but flush them down the toilets. Not a joke. I know that firsthand. Third of all, friends, the same people they mean to defend that dissect babies and sell their baby parts online. That's the mainstream media that's attacking this profiling this individual that dared throw a rock at a endangered monk seal in the waters. But it's the same media and it's the same government that the American people have allowed as a reflection that has also made it illegal to tamper with eagle eggs. No joke, okay? The same government and the same reflection the American people have allowed their said representatives to play out and reflect upon themselves that has made it illegal to kill whales. I'm not advocating for any of this, friends. I'm just showing you what takes precedent here with these sick-minded, useful idiots in the mainstream media. Did you know it's also illegal, say they, to pick flowers in the state parks? Friends, if you're in a state park, pick a flower, okay? You paid for it. They're your flowers. And then the list goes on. Folks, they've even gone so far as to have these Hollywood fallen stars join in boycotting the Kentucky Fried Chicken for its cruelty to chickens. And I'm not kidding you whatsoever. Anybody tired of this yet? Come on. It's Friday. I know it's Friday. I'd like to have a day off on a Friday in the sense of just like a little reprieve concerning what's been going on in our country. But we don't seem to get that reprieve unless we just go ahead and ignore the issues, which in fact I am not going to ignore. I understand. I hope people understand that it's not my objective every day of the week to get up on this radio program or the social media platform to sit there and tell you what it is that's going on in your country again on a daily basis. Again, it wouldn't be happening if the American people stood up and said absolutely no more of this. But again, friends, they profile an individual like he's a criminal for throwing a rock at a seal in the water. But it's okay to murder babies to the equivalency of 80 million. That's where you're at today. We'll be right back.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you're already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
This is Alan Keyes.
I'm glad to have an opportunity to talk to you for a moment about my friend Bradley Dean. He's making a great contribution to, I think, the vital work, not only of helping to wake people up to the importance of our faith, but especially spreading that word to the younger generations who are desperately in need of it. Help him do his work and spread it further.
BBSRadio.com.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Henry Knox, Revolutionary War General and Secretary of War, he said, "First, I think it proper to express my unshaken opinion of the immorality of my soul or mind, and to dedicate and devote the same to the supreme head of the universe, to that great and tremendous Jehovah, who created the universal frame of nature, worlds, and systems, and number infinite. To this awfully sublime being do I resign my spirit with unlimited confidence of his mercy and protection." Some say, well, who's Henry Knox? Well, Henry Knox famously referred to the cannons that he transported from Fort Ticonderoga to Boston in the winter of 1775 to 1776 as his noble train of artillery. Henry actually transported 59 artillery pieces, roughly 60 tons of cannons and mortars, 300 miles from Fort Ticonderoga to Boston to break the British siege. The reason for all this? Henry said, "We are fighting for our country, for our posterity. On the success of this campaign, the happiness or misery of millions may depend." Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Can I share with you what grace does, friends? Because grace is the empowerment to overcome sin. The Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more overcome and abound. Romans 5:20. I just want to share with you what operates in this boy that you're listening to, this boy that you're watching right now. It's called grace. It's a quickening grace. Ephesians 2:1. It quickens me from the dead. It's a work that only the Holy Spirit can do as he regenerates me and renews me. But that grace that he bestows upon me, it makes me more than a conqueror. It causes me, by the faith given, 1 John chapter 5, verse 2, to overcome and oversee what's going on in this trouble. It's like an eagle, per se, in the eye of a storm. He sees from the top down. That's what the grace of God and the giftings of the Lord bestow upon me, and they bestowed upon me. So I want to do my best to convey that to you, because it's Friday. I want a little bit of a lighter load, okay? I really do. But I want to give you a parable so you can understand that. Why all the dirt? All day long, we get dirt thrown on us. All day long. And again, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. But let me give you this parable, if you will. There was once an old farmer who had a donkey. And one day he was walking along and heard his donkey crying. And as he walked towards the cry of the donkey, he came to find out that that donkey had fallen into an old well and was trying to get out. Well, the farmer thought within himself, how am I going to get this donkey out of the well? And as he pondered it for just a little bit, he began to reason within himself, saying, well, this donkey's just too old anyways. He's worthless. He's not really worth my time and effort to get him out of that well. That's what we feel like oftentimes. Well, soon he had called over some of his farmer buddies and they began to shovel scoops of dirt and throw it into the well, trying to bury the donkey alive. Shovel scoop and scoop of shovel scoop of shovel back onto the donkey and on its back, doing their best to bury the donkey alive. Well, the donkey panicked at first, and knowing what was at stake here, namely his life, and understanding as to what they were trying to do. They were trying to bury him alive. Well, suddenly, to the farmer's amazement, the donkey started to do something that was very, very odd. And this is real Christianity. For every scoop of dirt that they would throw on that donkey's back, you know what that donkey would do? I said that donkey would do, right? He would shake the dirt off and began to use each scoop as a step to get out of that well. Boy, that ignorant donkey had a whole lot of common sense, didn't he? Well, we're fools for Christ. We're dead to ourselves and we're alive by the power of the Holy One of Israel. And this is what grace does. He would shake off the dirt, all that which is thrown on us, and we'd begin to use each scoop that was thrown on us as a step to get out and to hold accountable, in fact, those that are throwing the dirt on us. See, friends, life is hard. It's an uphill battle. The world tries to throw a lot of fear, doubt, oppression on us, hopelessness, but you know what you have to do? We have to use what they throw on us as a stepping stone and to get out of that hole, and the Lord gives it to us. He's the author and the finisher of our faith, and remember, we're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. And let me end this little analogy in such a way that you might understand 1 John chapter 5, 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And how do we end that? Well, Philippians 4:13 makes it clear. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So no matter what the world throws on me, friends, guess what? I'm going to keep coming back at it, and the Lord keeps giving me strength. And I want to tell you, these testings, these trials, these things that are coming out against us, friends, he's empowering us to deal with them. And that's exactly, again, what operates in this donkey. I am a fool for Christ, and if the Lord wants to equate me in such a fashion, I'll be more than happy to do just that. I want to highlight a couple more things here, friends. If you want to call in at any time, please do. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Wanted to highlight something that you may not have heard yet, and we were just talking about, and we do quite often here. We expose the lying mainstream media and their spin doctors, and of course, they're useful idiots. And I didn't call them that. Vladimir Lenin did. And he called them useful idiots because they were willing to lie to their own people, to betray their own people, like a Judas, perhaps. When he betrayed the Christ with a kiss, Luke 22:48. I want to show you something, and I want you to hear this as well, affiliates, and I'll paint the picture here for you. What you're going to hear and what you're going to see is a visual of an individual that was wearing a mask on Fox News. You're just being toyed with, friends. You're just being laughed at now. But the Fox News speaker, who is banging the war drum, by the way, and if that's the case, they go first. It's interesting. He was wearing a silicone mask, and it was starting to come off during this interview. In other words, it wasn't him. And folks, I know people out there say, you know, we've seen this before and that's a conspiracy theory. I think we're way beyond anybody saying theory any longer because all of our theories have come to pass. You look like the fools for tolerating what it is that they're doing to you again and again and again because you don't understand that scripture makes clear that wicked men are involved in conspiracy. And we know that now in America. And I say that because when you look at Jeremiah 11, 9, it talks about conspiracy. Isaiah 28, verse 18, and it's a covenant of death that needs to be disannulled by we the people if we so choose to do so out of love for God and out of gratitude for what he's done for us. And if not, we're just going to get more of what I'm going to show you right now. Because this kind of stuff, folks, is so outlandish, you can't even make it up. You really can't.
We're suffering miserably. And the more we can enhance that discord and weaken the regime, not only in the eyes of the
mask?
People, but the world global economy.
It's clearly a mask on the Fox News speaker banging the war drum where his mask is falling off his neck. You can clearly see it coming off his between his collar and his neck where his Adam's apple is. Now, folks, this is the kind of stuff that we've been trying to make you aware of for a long time. You can keep calling it what you want to call it, but I want to tell you this. At this point, you are literally being mocked. You are literally being laughed at every given step. It's clearly a mask. It's clearly a mask. And, folks, they're not afraid to show you. And don't tell me that nobody caught this. Unless somebody meant for you and us to see this that works at Fox News, because maybe they're sick of what's going on as well. But again, we're looking at a man that's banging the war drum right here where his mask is literally coming off by his collar. And again, folks, this is how you get your information. And that's why I'm constantly trying to tell you, folks, it's not information. It is propaganda that's being disseminated amongst us on a 24/7 basis by the mainstream media. I want to show you one more thing, and then we're going to get over to a lighter note. And this particular piece here, it's Thomas Massie. Now, do I trust Thomas Massie? I trust him as far as I can throw Bobart, as far as I can throw Marjorie Taylor Greene. Absolutely not. But I do want to say this is the more informed information that we're getting from these individuals. Am I throwing Massie under the bus? No, I'm not throwing him under the bus neither. I do believe that he's doing some good things here, but I also know that it's been 6 months that the Epstein files were supposed to, by law, be released. This current administration has fought tooth and nail against anybody that has done that. So in holding this situation in the light, I'm going to give a high five to Thomas Massie for what it is that he's doing here because he is exposing people, and it's information we all need to hear and see concerning what is going on. You know, it was ousted by an individual in Kentucky where millions of dollars, I believe it was $30 million, came in to basically oust Massie that came in from Zionist dollars. Zionist dollars. So again, friends, it goes back to the same source. And the new guy jumping in Kentucky, he's the one also banging the war drum, just like this guy caught with the mask on in Fox News. So let's go ahead and play this. And again, this is Thomas Massie. Listen carefully.
Steam Files Transparency Act was all about. By the way, today is the 6 month anniversary of the Epstein Files Transparency Act. We've taken out 24 CEOs, an ambassador, a prince, a prime minister, a minister of culture, and that was just 6 months. I got 7 months left in Congress. That's what the Epstein Files Transparency Act was. That's what.
Okay, so folks, what's happening here is he's claiming that he's going to do a lot more, but what's interesting are the individuals that are being ousted that Massie's bragging about. And at no time that I've ever heard has Massie ever said where he's pointed his finger back at Donald Trump. And the irony there is that Donald Trump's name appeared over 16,000 times and less than 0.5% of the Epstein files being released. So why isn't he calling it out for what it is? We're going to come right back. I'm going to lighten the load just a little bit. Sons of Liberty Radio.com, Sons of Liberty Media.com.
So, you want to make a difference, but you don't know where to start. You've been listening to the Sons of Liberty Radio Show and have been thinking, There are so many others who need to hear this message as well, but you just don't know how to reach them. Well then, this is the perfect time for you to stop thinking and start doing. It's time to schedule an event in your community with Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty. It's easier than you probably think, and the impact can literally be life-changing for those who attend. So don't wait. If you want to learn more on how to schedule an event with Bradley Dean, then give us a call at 1-866-233-0747. That's 1-866-233-0747. And together, we can make a difference in our world today.
Wisconsin Christian News, a 48-page national newspaper unlike anything you've seen before. Hard-hitting commentaries, politically incorrect, vital news and information you can't get anywhere else. Get a free sample copy. Email rob@wisconsinchristiannews.com and mention the name Bradley Dean. Caution, side effects of this newspaper for liberals and evangelifish include, but are not limited to, uncontrolled fits of rage, weeping and wailing, and the urge to curl up in a fetal position in a safe space in your mama's basement.
At the Sons of Liberty, we are in the trenches doing what it takes to protect our liberty. If you are already supporting our work as a son or daughter of liberty, we cannot say thank you enough. All we do is made possible by the generosity of faithful supporters like you. Together, we are positively impacting the future of this country that we all appreciate so much. If you've not yet partnered with us financially, we ask you to consider becoming a son or daughter of liberty today. Please call 1-866-233-0747 or go online at sonsoflibertyradio.com.
Hi there, I'm Ken Crow, conservativedailybriefing.com. I just want to tell you, I have listened to some of the greatest speakers in American history. I have never in my life heard a more powerful message from a more patriotic person. Bradley Dean is the epitome of liberty, freedom, and patriotism. If you feel like you need a shot of good old-fashioned patriotism today, get out and hear Bradley Dean. You won't hear a better speaker.
The second commandment in Exodus 20 tells us to beware of creating a god in our own image. A god, for example, all mercy, no justice, all love, no wrath, all grace, no judgment, all accepting, no rejecting, all heaven, no hell. Folks, this is not the God of the Bible. I speak to the Christians, food for thought. If you don't experience persecution, it may be because the world can't tell whose side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
The TV is my shepherd, I shall not want. It makes me to lie down on the sofa. It leads me away from the faith, and it destroys my soul. It leads me in the paths of sex and violence for the sponsor's sake. Yeah, though I walk in the shadow of Christian responsibilities, there will be no interruptions, for the TV is with me. It's cable and it's remote control. They comfort me. It prepares a commercial before me in the presence of my worldliness. It anoints my head with humanism and consumerism. My coveting runneth over. Surely laziness and ignorance shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of watching TV forever. You know, I was thinking about this earlier. I just thought, again, it's a simple resolve. It really is, where the Lord said in Jeremiah 6:16 to go back to the old paths. And so what I did is I went back about 100 and some odd years, and I started to think about the way that they used to live, because they understood during the beginning, the inception, or should I say the conception of the time of the country in which was bestowed upon us during the founding era, for a better way of saying it, they live different lives than we do, completely. In the warfare that we endure on a daily basis, they understood it in a different way. And I want to tell you how, because they actually dealt with the warfare. And that's not where I'm going. What I want to do is I want to show you in parallel, going back during that particular time, what it was like. And let's go to 1880 to 1889 for a moment. In the 1880s, did you know that laborers typically worked for about 10 hours a day? I got to tell you this, in 30 years of ministry, I remember when my pastor had said to me, ministry spells work. And I thought, well, you know, what could be tough about that? You get to read the word all day, you pray, whatever the case is. And I was talking as a novice, as one that didn't quite understand. I was still a baby, thinking that I knew something that I didn't know during that particular time. But I got to tell you, 30 years later, ministry spells work. He was exactly 100% right. And when you're doing the things that we're doing, because it's not just radio, it's not just preparing for radio, it's not just reading the Word of God and praying and going hashing through the Word of God, and should I say plowing through the Word of God, and you know, setting up events for people to be aware of what's going on locally. I just had one of those on Tuesday. Got all the said representatives together, senators and representatives together. And I got people that are a part of what's going on in the county together to communicate one with another. Because the last thing I'm going to do is I'm going to get on the radio and tell other people to do what it is that I'm not doing. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to call for somebody to do something that I haven't first done myself. Just as Paul said when he said, I dare not speak of those things that Christ has not wrought through me. After I do it, then I can talk out of testimony, Revelation 19:10, and that's what we do here, okay? So there's a whole plethora on top of articles. I did two articles this morning. Got up at 6:30, did two articles. You know, I mean, I can just go through it. I wrote three books last year. I mean, it's just all this stuff, and what's crazy about it is you enter into the joy of the Lord, and I'm thinking of Luke 19. Yes, you get busier, but you know, the bottom line is you're being spent for the people. And Jesus said, where you lose your life, that's where you find it. That's really true. It honestly is true. And so I'm saying that for the reason that when I look at this and I think 10 hours a day, I can't tell you over the last 30 years where I've only worked 10 hours during that day. It's constant. Ministry is constant. It's not taking your hat off and becoming someone different when you walk outside the door. No, you're all consuming the Spirit of God because we're consecrated for Him. And guess what? If we're consecrated for Him, we're His inheritance and He's ours. And when we're born in the Spirit, that's all we're going to do is find our place with the living God that He might walk among us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting 14 to the end of the chapter. But let's go back to the 1880s. Laborers typically worked 10 hours a day. During that particular time, 1890, 3% of the people ages 18 to 21 were actually enrolled in college, okay? And when you start to look at food represented 42% of family expenses on average. 23% of the budget went for rent, heat, and light. Okay. And then we go up to the next family. I'm just trying to shed some light on the way people used to live in this country because the way that we live, yet we may have better technology, but I'll tell you what, they endured a different warfare than the one that we endure. If you look at the 1800s going to the 1890s, most family income was about $500 to $1,000 annually, okay? 41% of families spent an average of their income on food, 15% on rent, 15% on clothing, 14% on fuel and light, and 22% on miscellaneous purposes or items. Going to the 1900s, they made 11 to 16... I'm sorry, it says wages earning men made an average of $11.16 per week. Per week. That's pretty crazy. Wages earning the women made an average of $6 a week. Annual family income averaged $749.50 in 1903. Let's go up to 1919. 69% of the earners in the 1914s had an annual income of $2,000 a year. Wow. Let's take on a new category here. 19.7% of the families during this particular time, they bought health insurance. 1918, that was probably $17 a year. In 1919, they're talking about cars cost an average of $2,000. Wow. That's pretty crazy, isn't it? There were about eight telephones per 100 people. Oh my goodness. Do you all remember, folks? I mean, you all have a phone, right? I mean, outside of the fact that you do know that you're being tracked all the time. You know what's crazy about that? It's like a ball and a chain, isn't it? It's got everything on it. You ever travel? You go into an airplane and you look at everybody, what they're doing. What are they doing, folks? If they're not watching some filthy movie. They're playing on their phone. They're gambling. Or they're watching something that they shouldn't be watching. Or they're texting back and forth. It's not like you can, you know, go out, do your thing, come back home, and there's a note on the table to say that says, you know what, so-and-so called at so-and-so during a particular time. Call them back. I miss that because it was liberating during that time. And it wasn't just instantaneous. If you wanted to talk to somebody, it took a little time to get a response, and sometimes that anticipation was actually healthy. It really was. Let's go to 1939. You had a starting wage, and the common labor was 43 cents an hour. 43 cents an hour. Minimum wage increased from 25 cents to 30 cents per hour in 1939. Wow. A cup of coffee cost an average of 39 cents per pound in 1930. High school teachers in large cities earned a median of $2,731 throughout the year. Engineers during that particular time earned a median income of $2,574. Health expenditures during that time were $22.04. In the 1930s, less than 10% of earners paid federal income tax. Yes, because in 1913, we all know what happened. By the way, folks, for those that didn't know, even if you go on to IRS publication 557 today, you do realize that the income tax, says right on the form, it's a voluntary tax system. Just think about that. It's also interesting to note when people say if it's a voluntary tax system and you don't pay your taxes, why do they end up in jail? Can you show me the law? There is no law. That's the totalitarian system of government you've been under for a long, long time. And guess what? The federal government during that particular time took the purse strings over the states. That's how you're seeing the tail wag the dog today. Because they have the finances, because they then took, in 1913, took every individual that started to pay their income tax, and then they overrode the state during that particular time, namely the 10th Amendment of the Bill of Rights. That's how they're getting away with what they're getting away with. Now you have the federal government threatening the states that you do what we want you to do, or you're not getting any money. You see what I'm talking about? It's insane, and it's completely backwards. It's completely backwards. Less than 15% of wives had paying jobs going to 1940. The minimum wage in 1940 was now 40 cents an hour. Widows with one child received an annual $39.47 in monthly Social Security benefits, right? And then pack of cigarettes, 20 cigarettes, cost about 15 cents. Now, what are they, $10, $11, $12? I don't even know. A gallon of milk in 1940 to 1949 was 52 cents per gallon. 85% of 1940 model cars sold at $700 to $1,500. I don't know how back in the early 1900s it was more than that, but this is right. Okay. In 1948, people that bought cars, 59% of them paid cash. Now they have you set up on a system where you're paying a usury tax, which the Bible forbids for those that did not know. You can apply usury, interest on money borrowed. You can apply that to foreigners, but not to your brethren. Now you have foreigners charging usury to Americans. It's completely upside down, to say the least. Let's go to none other than the 1950 to 1959. You had a federal minimum wage, which was a dollar from 75 cents to a dollar in 1956. And then it goes up from there. I'm going to go to houses right after that. A house during that time in the 1950s was $7,354. That was in 1950. We'll come right back to this in just a moment. Sons of Liberty Radio.com. This is Bradley Dean from the Sons of Liberty Radio.com, broadcasting live Monday through Friday at 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time, as well as Saturdays from 1 to 3 p.m. Founded back in 2004, BBS Radio TV stands as a trailblazer in remotely engineered broadcasts over the internet. BBS ignited the new media revolution, offering a powerful platform for vital voices such as ours and alternative perspectives that mainstream media often silences. The Sons of Liberty's BBS live broadcasts spans into 46 countries and streams into 200 of the world's largest internet broadcast stations, with on-demand syndication across all major social networks and podcast platforms. The visionary twin brothers Douglas and Donald Newsom crafted over 100,000 radio and web TV episodes for more than 1,000 satisfied clients. BBS Radio.
Don't have a place to go to church on Sunday? Then come join us at the Sons of Liberty and Bradley Dean. For many people, finding a home church that preaches the gospel in accordance with the scripture can be difficult. Many churches today have become self-help centers and very humanistic, without pointing their finger to Christ and the cross that all genuine Christians must bear, just as our Lord did. If you are looking for a church that preaches the truth without compromise from the inherent Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, then look no further than joining us every Sunday at 9 a.m. Central Time on the Sons of Liberty Radio, live on Rumble.
Andrew Young, former mayor of Atlanta, said, "You don't want to think of yourself as a martyr, but if you worship in a religion, Christianity, where the symbol of that religion is a cross, you are reminded every day of your lives that the cross is not something that you just hang on the wall. It's something that comes out as a result of confrontation with evil, and that when you face that confrontation with evil, you're likely to face the possibility with a physical death. But if you don't face that confrontation with evil, you inevitably face a spiritual death."
In a world filled with compromise and those who cower from speaking the truth, listening to Bradley Dean and the Sons of Liberty is a breath of fresh air in a day and age when you are searching for someone to just tell it like it is. If you are ready to hear the unadulterated truth from the Word of God that will feed your soul, open your eyes, give you understanding, and turn your heart to the Father, if you are ready to take a stand and realize your duty before God and man to preserve the freedom so graciously bestowed upon us by God Almighty and our founding forefathers, if you're ready to set aside the counterfeit and embrace the real, then join us weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Central Standard Time and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for an encounter that will enlighten your understanding and point you directly to Jesus Christ, the everlasting light.
Welcome back again to the Sons of Liberty. Quiet today, Friday. Quiet today. Yeah. 281-845-4704. 281-845-4704. Trying to take a little bit of a reprieve, friends, the best way that I can. I'm not dropping my guard. I'm staying on the offensive here, but I am trying to show people the reason the Lord showed us in a blessed state, Jeremiah 6:16, is because they were different times. They were in blessed times. I was just highlighting the 1800s, then going into the 1900s, the early 1900s, the 1910s, 20s, 30s, 40s. Now I'm up to the 50s. So between 1950 and 1959, did you know that a home had a median value of $7,354? In an average home, we're typically under 1,000 square feet. Why is that? Have you ever noticed that the pioneers, those that have been before us, if you go back to the early 1900s, have you noticed how small the homes were? You want to know why that is? Because they were outside working all the time. Now it's just the exact opposite. Got a bunch of zombies hanging on computers all day, which within itself isn't bad as long as people are working, right? That's a good thing. 1950 to 1959, cars, 60% of families owned a car in 1950. Interesting. A three-minute call in 1951 from Washington, D.C. to California was $2.50. Do you guys all remember this? Yeah, I remember as a little kid. What my mom used to do is she would, like, we would leave South Dakota, and she would call her family, and she'd say, okay, when I get back into Minnesota, I'll call you. And what she would do is she'd do a person-to-person phone call, and she would call her sister in South Dakota, and the operator would say, so-and-so, are you willing to take this collect call? And she'd say, no, I'm not. Well, that way that she then knew that her sister was there. Was that right? Probably not, but that's what they used to do. And I also remember as a little kid, my cousin and my uncle, they lived in a farm community, and I believe at that time in the early 80s, the phone lines, I think three or four or five families all had the same phone line. I mean, it is insane the difference what we see today, which is good if we use it for the right reasons. Okay. Let me go over to, 62% of Americans in 1950 then had a telephone. Let me go up to the 1960s. The minimum wage in 1960, you ready for this? 1960, $1. That was minimum wage. Cigarettes cost an average of 25 cents a pack. And over 50% of adult males were smokers in 1965. Americans, do you also remember when the government told you that cigarette smoking was harmless and that it was like the in thing to do? It was cool to do it, and everybody did it, and it was being promoted across the boards until the 1980s when they started to see the seeds in their lives come to full harvest. That many of them found out that it wasn't cool, and then they found out that there was hundreds of chemicals in those cigarettes that were actually causing cancer within their bodies, or emphysema, whatever the case might be. Let's go to 1970s. We have a minimum wage in 1970 of $1.60. That was the minimum wage. And homes at a median value in 1970, a house, friends, $17,000. The average home buyer, a brand new home buyer in the 1970s, was 33 years old. Gold was valued at 36 cents per ounce. Cigarettes at that point were 47 cents. The top selling car in 1973 was the Ford LTD. Gasoline was 35 cents a gallon. I can't even make it up. You know how much a hospital care cost per capita in a fiscal year in 1969 to 1970? $124. Folks, you can't even go into the ER room without getting a bill for $500 to $700 to $1,000, depending on what it is that you're dealing with. Let's go to the 1980s. Minimum wage was $3.10. Yep. I remember $3.65. That's the lowest that I remember. An average home at that time, the median value was $47,200. Tuition fees, room and board at a four-year public university cost about $2,400 a year. And folks, you have to understand this, what they call inflation. You do understand the levee's going to break sooner or later, right? And it's not good. Gold in 1985, I'm sorry, gold was valued at $6.12. I'm sorry, $612 per troy ounce in 1980, up $40 from the 1960s, going to the 90s. Minimum wage was $3.80. Minimum wage, $3.80. That was great. Man, it was hard for us kids, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather live in those times and have it be hard, what I thought was hard, compared to what it is now, right? Milk cost $1.42 a gallon in 1990, going to 2000. $5.15 per hour was the minimum wage. Oh, everything is just skyrocketing, friends. Everything is skyrocketing. Going to the present, 2010 to 2019, federal minimum wage was $7.25 per hour for the entire 2010s decade. I mean, folks, this is, again, I don't know, but I find some consolation in some of this. Because we can regain our position if we're willing to take it. And this is good. That's why in some cases, a majority of the cases, people had a peace of mind. See, what they've allowed is they've allowed the government to put their tentacles on everything in life today, where they have no business being there whatsoever. Now listen, folks, again, I'm trying to make it a little bit lighter today for the sake of I want to be there today. I get tired, sick and tired of what you're sick and tired of. But again, I'm also out there righting the wrongs. But in the process of doing so, I wanted to come at you at a different angle today. Where again, it brings a little bit of a refresher on your Friday here. And that's my end aim. Yesterday, I tried to play a song for you, or it's not a song, but it is a song. And our friend from BBS actually created this. And it was something that they did from AI. They went and conjured up a bunch of information on who I am, what it is that I do. And in the process, he came up with this song and he said, "What do you think of this?" And it took him 4 hours to do it. So for those that didn't hear it yesterday, I want you to hear it today. This is our friend Don, one of the owners from BBS, our flagship in Texas there. And this is what he did, and this is what he proposed. And he said, "What do you think of it?" I want to give it to my radio audience and tell me, what do you think of it? Listen to
this.
Clear
the frequency. Lock the courtroom doors. Sound the alarm from sea to shining sea. Somewhere between the pulpit, the schoolhouse, the radio tower, and the Book of Acts, there rises a man with fire in his wig, a Bible in one hand, the Constitution in the other, and a microphone hot enough to melt the lies off a nation's face. Behold, the sir, the myth, the man himself, Sir Bradley Dean himself! Raised from the dust where streets teach pain and the soul learns trust, and heaven kicked the door and said, "Boy, get
listen
on your
to the lyrics
in the airwaves and the serpent."
Great job, Don. Great job.
The took the word like a blade, put truth in the speakers, let the cowards be afraid. Now the static starts screaming when he walks in the room. Comic book preacher with the thunderclap, boom. He don't whisper to tyrants, he don't bow to the screen, he don't polish chains for the fear machine. He comes through the curtain with the courtroom yell, "Wake up, America, can't you smell that smell?"
They said, "Sit down, Sir Bradley."
He said, "I decline."
They said, "Tone down the lightning."
He said, "This ain't mine."
They said, "Who do you think you are?"
He laughed through the flames.
"Just a servant with a slingshot in the king's holy name.
Sir Bradley Dean himself."
Ooh.
Riding through the radio fire, Bible like a hammer.
Truth climbing higher, Sir Bradley Dean himself.
With the lion uncaged,
stand for the rock.
Ooh.
Or get swept by the age.
Ooh.
Sons of Liberty.
Ooh.
Let the liberty bells explode. In the bloodstream, thunder on the road. When the truth hits the mic, let the dead bones ring. Even tyrants feel the sting.
Who's that?
Sir Bradley.
Who said? Himself.
What's that?
Truth fire.
What falls? Everything else. Headlines wear makeup, anchors wear strings, just to sell crowns to invisible kings. They call
I'm just gonna let it run its course, folks. Gonna let it run its course. Love you by what we do. First John 3:18. Looking forward tomorrow. Church on Sunday, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. Sons of Liberty Media.com.
comic panel lightning in the black parade. Half courtroom dragon, half revival bell. With a cape made of headlines that he ripped out of hell. Those who silence you mean to rule your soul. So he kicks down the silence and he takes back control.
They said, sir, you're too much now.
He said, not enough.
They said, you're making waves.
He said, the seas are rough.
They said, you can't say that here.
He said, watch me begin.
Then the drums hit the heavens and the saints marched in.
Sir Bradley Dean himself.
Woo!
Riding through the radio fire. Bible like a hammer.
Truth climbing higher.
Sir Bradley Dean himself.
With the lion uncaged.
Stand for the rock.
Woo!
Or get swept by the apes.
Sons of Liberty.
Woo!
Let the Liberty bells explode.
Heaven in the bloodstream.
Woo!
Pop thunder on the road.
When the truth hits the mic, let the dead bones ring.
Even tyrants feel the sting.
In this corner, the propaganda machine. 10,000 screens tall, made of fear, compromise, and applause. In the other corner, one ridiculous, sanctified, constitutionally caffeinated man with a microphone, a mission, and a refusal to shut up.
Amen. There it is right there. Hey, folks.
He called it Tuesday.
It's treason to be silent in these times.
He called it obedience. They said, who gave you authority?
Amen.
He pointed up.
Woo!